to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, very familiar passage of Scripture, one that we've preached from many times. We'd like to read the first 8 verses, Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I, that is Isaiah, saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. The time frame of these words is found in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah was the 10th king of Judah. He began to reign when he was 16 years old, and he reigned for 52 years. He was a very good king. He was very able king, a great military leader. He was an extremely popular king, and as you read in the book of 2 Chronicles, his accomplishments were many. Under him, Judah became a great military power, defeating one enemy after another. During his reign, they enjoyed great prosperity. They enjoyed great success, unlike any other time in their history. So as a result of all that, the nation had great confidence. They had great hope, and they were just simply enjoying their prosperity. But something happened that suddenly changed everything. In the book of 2 Chronicles, if we keep a mark there in Isaiah 6, in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, and verse 16. But when he, that is Uzziah, was strong, his heart was lifted up, talking about pride, to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Uzziah the king entered the temple to burn incense upon the altar, which of course was a task reserved for the Old Testament priest and the Old Testament priest only. And as a result of Uzziah doing this, he was struck with leprosy and was then forced to live outside the city while his son Jotham would reign in his stead. Notice in verse 21 of 2 Chronicles 26, And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now eventually, the news would come that the king, Uzziah, is dead. Uzziah has died. Now it was during this time, either while Uzziah was still exiled or after his death, it was simply in the year that King Uzziah died. So that could be before he died, that could be after he died. We don't know which. But we do know that it was either in the time of his exile or shortly after his death. But whatever time it was, whether it was in his exile or whether it was actually after he died, this was a very troublesome time for the nation, a very trying time, a very difficult time. It was a time when the confidence and hope that they had enjoyed and that was so prevalent under Uzziah's reign was now replaced with uncertainty. And it was replaced with anxiety and fear. And no doubt there was a sense of hopelessness during this time. And we're told here in Isaiah chapter 6, we see what takes place here from verse 1 is in the temple. So I believe that Isaiah entered the temple during this very troublesome time. And no doubt Isaiah's heart was very heavy as well. And he entered the temple knowing that he desperately needed something from God. He needed something from God. And he went to the temple that day to meet the Lord. And what took place in the temple that day gave new meaning and new purpose to the life of Isaiah. What took place in the temple that day was a life renewing, a life changing event that no doubt made a lasting impression upon Isaiah. No doubt made a great difference in his life. What took place that day had a great effect upon Isaiah, had a great impact upon him. And too many times we sit in a worship service and we leave without any realization of the meaning and purpose of our life. We leave unrenewed. We leave unchanged. And I believe that worship is something that ought to make, every time we do it, every time we worship, it ought to make a positive difference in our lives. We want to speak this evening on the subject of worship. It makes a difference. We want to notice four things, four specific things that happened in the temple that day. Four things that Isaiah experienced personally. And I believe these four things should be in every single worship service. Now we realize that there are times when God meets with his people in an extraordinary way. And no doubt here in Isaiah 6, that was one of those times when God met with Isaiah in an extraordinary way. But every worship service, maybe not to the same degree, but every single worship service ought to have these four things. And you'll notice that it is very personal. If you read through these eight verses, you notice, beginning specifically with verse 5 through verse 8, you notice all the personal pronouns. So this is something that was very personal, and worship is a personal thing. So we want to notice these four things. And again, these four things are absolutely necessary and should be present in every single worship service. First of all, there was a sense of God's presence. In verse 1, we see that Isaiah saw the Lord. That means that God was there. Not only does it mean that God was there, but it means that Isaiah was in a condition to recognize that God was there. I believe every time we come to the house of God, God is here. And He's here to meet with us. But I also believe that many times we come into the house of God and we're not in a condition to recognize the presence of the Lord. Isaiah recognized the presence of God. When he went into the temple that day, he went there with the purpose of meeting with God. He went there with the purpose knowing that he needed something from God. And when we come to worship, we ought to come to meet God, and we ought to come knowing I need something from God. I need to receive something from God. So Isaiah went there that day to meet with God, and God was there. And Isaiah recognized. And I believe Isaiah saw very, very vividly the Lord that day. He mentions three things that he saw concerning the Lord. In verse 1, he says, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. He saw the Lord's position. He recognized the Lord's position. The Lord was sitting upon a throne. That speaks of His sovereignty. He was high and He was lifted up. That speaks of His exaltation. Isaiah saw what the psalmist so often declared, the Lord reigneth. Isaiah saw that day that God was God. He saw that God, that the Lord was God. He saw that God was alive. He saw that God was in authority. He saw this. He saw this with his own eyes. He saw the omnipotence of Almighty God. He saw that God was above all things. He saw that God was higher and greater than all things. He saw that God was the preeminent one. He saw that God was bigger than life and bigger than all the problems that the nation was experiencing at that time. He saw that God was the one who had absolute right over our lives. You'll notice in verse 5, the latter part of verse 5, he says, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He saw the position of God. And far too many times, we sit in the Lord's house without ever seeing God as Lord. Secondly, he saw the Lord's glory and majesty. You'll notice again in verse 1, and his train filled the temple. Now in those days, the train of a ruler's robe was a measure of his status. It was a measure of his dignity. It was a measure of his magnificence. And we're told here that the Lord's train filled the temple.
Now the temple was 90 feet long, and it was 30 feet wide and 45 feet high. And we read that the Lord's train filled the temple. That is, his dignity filled the entire building. His magnificence, his beauty, his glory filled the entire building. And Isaiah saw it. And oh, how many times we sit in God's house, surrounded by the glory of the Lord, and we fail to see it. We fail to see his majesty. And this is necessary. If we're going to worship God, we have to see the Lord. We see also that he saw the personality of God. In verses 2 and 3, we read of the holiness of God. That means two things. Holiness means that God is set apart from all else, from all others. He stands alone. Holiness also, of course, means purity. But he saw the personality of God. He saw that God was holy. He saw that God wasn't the guy upstairs. He's not the big guy. He saw God as holy, apart from everything else. And he saw God as pure. And when the seraphim were crying, "Holy, holy, holy," what they were doing was they were stressing, they were underlining, they were highlighting, they were drawing attention to the holiness of God. He not only saw the Lord, but we're told that he heard the Lord. Again, we're still talking about the presence of God must be here if we're going to worship the Lord. Verse 8, he says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying." I not only saw him, but the one I saw, I heard him speak. And he spoke very plainly. And he spoke directly to me. And he spoke very distinctly. And worship will never, ever make a difference in our life. It will never have an impact upon us. It'll never have an effect upon us. And it'll never leave a positive impression upon us unless we personally hear from God. And Isaiah heard the Lord that day. He saw the Lord. He heard the Lord. Also, he felt. He felt the presence of God. Notice verse 4. "And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." The doorposts of the temple began to shake at the presence of God. This shows the awesomeness of his presence. It shows the power of his presence. Things were shaken at the presence of God. And most importantly, it shook the being of Isaiah. So if we're going to, in every worship service, there needs first of all to be a recognition of the presence of God. A seeing of God, a hearing of God, and even a feeling of his presence. And Isaiah saw the Lord that day. You and I, of course, must do that by faith. He heard the voice of God speaking that day. And he felt presence of God. So there must be a recognition of the presence of the Lord. Secondly, we see in verse 5 that there was a conviction of his own sin as a direct result of the overwhelming presence of God. No doubt Isaiah was struck with a sense of wonder. He was struck with a sense of reverence and adoration. And as Isaiah sits there and he sees God, he hears God, he feels God, do you think that Isaiah is whispering to the person next to him? Do you think Isaiah is looking around, paying no attention? Do you think Isaiah is smacking on his chewing gum? I don't think so. He's completely caught up in the presence of God. And we have lost that today. We have literally lost that today. People do not recognize the presence of God. We come into the very presence of God. And Isaiah was stirred. He was moved. He was touched. And I believe he was shaken. And he was greatly affected. And verse 5 opens with a very important word. Then, this is after he recognizes the presence of God. Then, that is after that, or next, or afterward. Then said I, woe is me. This is an exclamation of lament, an exclamation of sorrow. Woe is me. It's a word of misery. It's a word of heartache. It's a word of distress. It's even a word of despair. And more importantly, it's a word of regret. Why did this feeling come upon Isaiah? Well, he tells us. Verse 5, woe is me. For, which is a conjunction simply meaning because. Woe is me. This is why this feeling came upon him. Because I am undone. I am undone. That is, I feel like I deserve to be doomed, is what Isaiah is saying. I'm worthy of the condemnation of God. He felt himself worthy of the wrath of God. He felt himself worthy of the judgment of God. He began to feel the seriousness of his sin. And I don't believe we can worship God unless that happens. And I don't believe that you can be in the presence of God without feeling how insignificant we are and how unworthy we are. As you read verse 5, there's no feeling here of self-importance. There's no feeling here of self-righteousness. There's no feeling of self-sufficiency. He felt entirely unworthy. He felt that he was deserving of ruin and undeserving of the blessings of God. Why? Well, he goes on and he says, because, or for this reason, and on account of, I am a man of unclean lips. That word unclean is expressive of that which is dirty, that which is foul, that which is impure, That which is contaminated and infected. Again, Isaiah is feeling the awfulness of his own sin. This is the result of being in the presence of God. He begins to feel the awfulness of his wickedness. He begins to feel the filth and the vileness of his sin. And all of this is a result of being in the presence of a holy God. Isaiah, read verse 5. Read it over and over and over again. Isaiah, as soon as he began to feel guilty, he did not try to redefine sin. He did not try to minimize sin. He did not try to justify his sin. He did not try to excuse his sin. He simply said, "Woe is me." He was convicted. He didn't get angry. He was convicted of his sin. And I believe this takes place in every worship service where we truly worship God. It is an attitude of repentance. See, we've come to a point in our society, in our culture, if you will, we've come to a point where we believe worship is about making people feel better about themselves. You will not find that anywhere in the Word of God. That's not what worship is about. Feeling better about ourselves. I'm telling you this, a lot of people would feel better about themselves if they would first feel how bad they are and how wrong they are and get right. So we see there was a recognition of the presence of God. There was a conviction of his own sinfulness. But we can't stop there. If that's where our worship stops, then what happens? If it just stops at conviction of sin, we go home most miserable. We leave here most miserable. And depression is sure to set in. There's something else that happened. And that's the third thing. Notice verse 6. Again, notice that first word. Then. That is, after I felt the weight of my sin, after I felt how unworthy and how undeserving that I was, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. This is the third thing, and that is there was a joyful reminder of the grace of God. He felt unclean. Then one of those seraphim came and with the tongs took a coal from the altar. From the altar, which was symbolic, of course, of the cleansing that comes from the blood of Christ. The altar is symbolic of the fact that sin has been dealt with. That my sin has been dealt with. And that God is gracious. And that was the next thing that came about. So there was a recognition of the presence of God. There was a conviction of sin. There was a reminder of God's grace. And in that, there was heavenly contact. The seraphim came with a live coal taken with the tongs from the altar. And in verse 7, and he laid it upon my mouth. He laid it on my mouth. There was contact with God. How often we sit in the house of God, We claim to worship God, and there is no personal contact with the Lord whatsoever. That's not worship. In all worship, there must be personal contact with the Lord. And before we can have personal contact with the Lord, sin has to be dealt with. This is God's grace. We see in verse 7 that there was actually a cleansing that took place. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. So we have a recognition of the presence of God. We have a conviction of sin. And we have a joyful reminder that sin has been dealt with, and there is a personal contact with the Lord, and there is a cleansing that takes place. And then also I heard the voice of the Lord. Now we're in a condition to hear the voice of the Lord. And the last point, the fourth ingredient to worship, there was an inspiration to serve the Lord. After he was cleansed, he personally heard God's call to service. Verse 8 begins also, that is, in addition to his personal experience of grace, I heard the voice of the Lord saying. And he knew exactly what God said. He heard it very clearly. He did not misunderstand what God was saying. And he did not try to change what God was saying. He did not try to twist or pervert what God was saying. He said, I heard God say, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then we read that important word again. Then. That is, upon hearing God's call, then said I. There's a personal response. We have not worshiped God until we respond in a positive way to what God has said. You may hear what God says in a worship service, and you may storm out of here angry. You have not heard. You have not worshiped. You have not worshiped God. Isaiah responded. Isaiah responded in a positive way. Isaiah volunteered, and Isaiah made himself available, and Isaiah wanted to fulfill God's call. He said, here am I. Send me. He didn't even know where God was going to send him. He didn't even know what the job entailed. He just said, Lord, whatever it is, here I am. Send me. It was a personal surrender. As a child of God, we cannot experience what Isaiah experienced and remain indifferent or apathetic, or defiant, or cold. If you leave a worship service cold, you have not worshiped. If you leave a worship service defiant, and apathetic, and rebellious, you have not worshiped. You've made a mockery of worship. As a child of God, you cannot experience what Isaiah experienced and remain unresponsive. God speaks. God speaks to us through His Word. And He does so very plainly. He does so very clearly. Most do not hear. They do not hear. Oh, they may hear me reading the Scriptures, but they do not hear from God. And they do not respond. In closing, Isaiah went to the temple to meet with God. We come every Sunday, every Wednesday, and hopefully we come to meet with God. That's the reason for coming. We have come to meet with the Lord. That means that I am to come as prepared as I can possibly be to meet God. We need to beware of staying out real late on Saturday evenings, so we're so tired that we cannot prepare ourselves to worship. We need to begin preparing early to meet with the Lord. Saturday ought to be a day of excitement. Tomorrow, get to go to the place where God has promised to meet with His people. So he went to the temple to meet with God. And what transpired that day was very personal. What transpired that day was very real. He saw God. He heard God. Yes, he even felt the overpowering presence of God. And experiencing that, it filled him with a sense of awe. It filled him with a sense of wonder. And as he observed God, as he recognized the presence of God, he began to feel how unworthy he was. He began to feel the convicting power of God. But it didn't stop there. Shortly after that, he began to experience the grace and the mercy of the Lord. And he began to come into personal contact with the Lord. And after all that had transpired, he heard. He heard the call of God. And he didn't try to take the call of God and put it upon somebody else. He personally responded. And he let go of everything. When Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me," he let go of all his plans. He let go of everything in response to God. But today, many times we come to worship and we're holding on to everything we can with both hands. And we're not about to let go. And the call of God comes, and people are so busy holding on to what God says, let go. They're so busy holding on that they get angry at the call of God. They get offended. Do you know today, if we had a service just like this in Isaiah 6, how many people would be offended?
I mean, it offends some people.
People are offended when they are told to let go. And they'll find every reason possible to hold on. But Isaiah let go of everything. And he surrendered his life to God. And I believe what happened here forever changed Isaiah. But my point is, every single worship service ought to make a change in our lives. It ought to change us. It ought to change us for the better. Isaiah went from the temple that day with a new sense of meaning and with a new sense of purpose. And after every worship service, if we have truly worshiped God, we will leave this building with a new sense of meaning, with a new sense of purpose. That's what gets us through till the next time we come back. But people leave the worship service, there's no sense of new sense of meaning. There's no new sense of purpose. And don't you think that Isaiah went from the temple that day more in love with his God? Certainly that's so. And after every worship service, we ought to leave more in love with God than when we came in. And don't you think that Isaiah left that temple, he left more thankful to God than he did when he went in? We ought to come in with hearts filled with thanksgiving, and we ought to go out with even more thanksgiving. And if these four things are present, that'll take place. We will leave with thankful hearts. And don't you think that Isaiah left the temple that day more focused upon God, more determined, more resolved and more zealous to serve God? It changed him. In every worship service ought to change us. Don't you think he left the temple that day refreshed and revived? In every worship service we ought to leave refreshed. We ought to leave revived. My point is, it was a worship service that made a difference in his life. And again, we realize that there are those extraordinary times when God meets with his people in a special way. Times that we never forget. But those things don't happen all the time. That's why they're extraordinary. But every worship service, we have met with God, and we ought to leave refreshed. We ought to leave revived. You cannot meet with God as Isaiah did here and not have it have an effect and an impact upon your life. And every time we come here, every time we assemble together as a church, it ought to have a powerful effect, it ought to have a powerful impact upon our life. Every single time. And if it doesn't, we've done something wrong. We've missed it somewhere. God help us to be a people that truly worship the Lord. Sunday, the best day of the week. It is a day that ought to thrill us
It is a day that ought to excite us. And we ought to, the week ought to build with anticipation. We're going to meet with God. Now, I'm not saying, nor do I mean to imply, that Sunday is the only day we can worship God. We're to worship God every day. Every single day we're to worship. In fact, that's what prepares us. If you worship God Monday through Saturday, every single day, you'll come Sunday ready to worship. But Sunday is a day that God has set aside for His people to come together and worship. And every worship service ought to revive us. Every worship service ought to draw us closer to God. You think about how long some of you have been saved. And you think about how many church services that you have sat in through your lifetime or since the time you've been saved. And it's sad how little of a difference it has made in the lives of many. It's truly sad. They haven't accomplished anything. It ought to be making a difference. It ought to have an impact upon our lives. So God help us to be a people who worship the Lord. A people that are changed by worshiping and by meeting with God. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.